Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. I'm your host, Rick Goreski, and with me today is one of the most successful owners in Mad Dog Dynasty League history. I'm talking about the owner of the Dream Team, Matt Blankenberg. Welcome to the doghouse, Matt. Thanks for joining me today. You there, buddy? Can you hear me, Matt? We're just getting some technical difficulties fixed here. Matt, you there? Matt, are you there, buddy?
I am here.
Awesome. We got you.
Okay. All right.
Good to hear it. Just wanted to introduce you and say hello, and thank you for coming on the doghouse to throw everybody a bone today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick. Happy to be here.
No problem. Well, listen, I gave it some thought, and I got to start the show out by asking out loud whether people realize how impressive your team's been over the years, and I know it firsthand because I'm in your division and thus playing you every year, but I'm not sure even you maybe realize how successful this team has been. After four seasons, there are two teams that have averaged over 200 points a year, 200 points or more, across all seasons in Mad Dog history, and Dream Team is in that elite club. Dream Team currently the second highest scoring owner in league history, having averaged an incredible 202.1 points per game. You're fifth all-time in wins. There's more. If you look at the most points scored ever in a season, you boast two of the top five scores, including the league record for most points scored in a season, having put up 3,738 points back in 2013. So you've really done well for yourself over the years, man. What's the secret, man?
I don't really think I have a secret. And I am aware how that I have been successful, and it's been kind of frustrating because I am scoring points, and unfortunately the teams that I'm playing are scoring more points against me, it seems like. It seems like every time I play somebody each week, they have – I have a really good week, and they just have a little bit better, so it's been kind of frustrating. But
I didn't write it down, but your suspicion is correct because you're also the second highest most points scored against team in league history. So
that explains it. Yeah, that explains it. But I don't think there's really a secret that I have. It's just going out there and looking at matchups and putting in the best lineup I can every week.
We'll keep that mojo going, man, because it's working. You'll break through. Matt, believe it or not, we are about to enter our fifth season here in Mad Dog, and you've been with us from the start. What do you think of the league after 5 years? Did you know right off the bat that we had the makings to keep this thing going for 5 years? It's not slowing down or anything.
No, but when you first approached me, I don't think I even hesitated to say, yeah, I'm in. And been looking to get into a dynasty league for years, and you approached me, and I said, sure, and I had no idea it was going to be this much fun and this successful. So I think it's great, and I think you're doing a great job with this league.
Well, hey, man, I'm really glad you took the invite. you've been one heck of an asset to the league. Let me turn a little bit personal and ask you about your team. Team names often have a special meaning to guys. Every time I get a guy here in the doghouse, I ask him, why did you pick your team name? So for you, why Dream Team?
That's funny you say that because there's really no special meaning to my team name. I just, when we put the league together, when you asked me to get into the league, I was thinking of team names. And I think that was the league started the year the Philadelphia Eagles went out and signed a bunch of free agents. And I think somebody on the Eagles said that they were going to be the Dream Team. And I thought, well, hey, let's just go with it. Let's go with the dream team.
It worked out better for
and
you.
And I remember, you know, back from the, you know, from the late 80s, you know, the men's basketball team, the dream team. And I thought, yeah, why not? Let's go with it.
That's what I always think of when I hear dream team. I always think of that.
Yeah.
Legion of legends from the NBA. But anyway, as the years have unfolded, do you have a favorite rival or rivals, a team or two that you get a little extra enjoyment out of beating?
Well, that would have to be you, Rick. You know, we're in the same division, and, you know, of course we have our I don't know if any other owners are aware, but we have a little side bet each time we play. And I think you lead the series by quite a few games. So I would say you're my biggest rival.
I don't know if it's that many. It's the sub-bowl, as they call it. It's the sub-card every year. But you're winning them all back in baseball. I'm 0-3 this year. So what do you think of the division alignment in Mad Dog, talking about us being in the same division? I think time has proven that each division has been equally tough within itself. But time has also proven that some divisions have been a little tougher than others. You've absolutely owned the blue division. You're 11-5 all time against the blue division opponents. You've also done very well against the powerful white division. The white division having been talked about recently as producing all but one of the league's champions. You've gone 10-7 all time against the white division. All of your trouble has come within your own division, actually, the red division, where you've gone 9-14-1. And by the way, the damn one cost me a division title back in 2011. So I just want to say that. It sickens me every time I see that one tie. It really pisses me off. The only tie in league history. Thanks for that. Adds to our rivalry. Back on track, though. What do you think of our divisions?
Well, with that being said, I have to say that I think our division is the toughest division. You know, I don't think we have any championships in our division, but as far as if you want to look at total points scored, I think we have some of the top teams all time in points scored in our division. I think we have the toughest division in the league. And, you know, no disrespect to the other divisions, but I think the best teams are in our division.
And actually, Minotaurs, they won a title back in 2012. And
okay,
you're correct about the points issue. I'm trying to look it up as we talk here. Don't you love live radio? One of these dang items that I were to click on would say, here we go, season records. Most points for, you're the highest, I'm 2-3. Sean, rest his soul, who passed away, is 4, and you're 5. So all 5 of the most points for in a season have come out of our division.
Okay.
And 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top 5 highest scored points against came out of our division. So just throwing that out there on the fly to support what you said. What is it about playing in a dynasty league, and Mad Dog in particular, that makes the league enjoyable to you?
I like the fact that it's a year-round league. It really keeps you interested in football all season. You know, the off-season moves, even the rookie draft, you know, getting ready for that. And it helps me in my other leagues where they're one-year only redraft leagues. I think it helps me in those leagues too with, you know, I feel like I'm ahead of the game for the most part when I go into a one-year redraft league because I've been, you know, studying so hard in the off season, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, you're really dialed in all year long to the NFL news. So what are some of your favorite memories from Mad Dog, and don't dare say that damn tie.
Oh, boy. Favorite memories, boy. You know, I don't know if I really have a favorite memory. I haven't really won anything to speak of that. Yeah, that's third, though. I mean, I think if finishing third, you might as well, what's the difference? You know, third, fourth, fifth, who cares, right?
Ricky Bobby on me. If you ain't first, you last.
Yes, that's about it, right? So, you know, I would have to say, I really don't have, like, one specific memory. I do. One thing that does stick out in my mind is, you know, that for whatever reason, Justin Blackman, I can't get that pick out of my head. Kind of a bust pick that I made back, boy, was it 2 or 3 years ago in the rookie draft? 2012. So that's a not a good memory, but it's a memory.
Well, you know what, though?
Not work out
I got to tell
you,
I have still been watching Blackman, and that guy's got so much talent. I mean, what a tragedy that his career, that he couldn't get himself, you know, he was his own worst enemy. He couldn't get rid of the demons. I don't know if he's ever going to play again, but my goodness, the talent that that guy had. He'd be right up there. If he had his head straight, he'd be right up there this year with Dez Bryant and Beckham and Julio Jones, Thomas from Denver. He'd be right there. I mean, he was that good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, yeah, it sounds like he probably won't ever step onto an NFL football field again, unfortunately.
Let's switch gears for a minute and talk a little about the league. I guess not necessarily switching gears, but I have to ask this question because every time I get a guy on the show, I give him a platform to talk about the rules of the league. And as you know, Mad Dog holds a rules meeting every year. Is there anything that you'd like to change or take a couple of moments to plant a seed in the minds of your fellow owners?
Well, I think there's really nothing. I'm really happy with the way it is. One thing that I always thought about possibly, which would make it a little bit more, I don't know if it would make it more exciting. I know it would probably eliminate we would probably never have, did you say we had one tie in league history?
That's the only tie in league history.
Well, if we had a fractional point system, that tie probably never would have been a tie. And either you would have won or I would have won. So maybe a fractional point system someday, so you get credit for every yard.
Okay. Fractional points.
You know, every yard. Yeah, fractional points.
Yeah, decimal point scoring.
Yeah,
is the technical title of it. So,
yeah,
listen,
exactly.
Offensively, Mad Dog features a very unique starting lineup where you start one quarterback, one tight end, and four offensive flex, meaning running back, wide receiver, tight end. You know this. Some of the folks listening might not. Do you have a favorite formation, or have you found a formation that works better than others?
I don't. You know, I think it all depends on what players you have on your team. If I had four great number one receivers, I'd go four receivers. If I had four great running backs, I'd go four running backs. I think it's just the best players. So I really don't think it goes by position. I think you have to put your best players in every week.
Agreed. And that's why I love it. I love it because you're never cornered into having to start a lesser player.
Exactly.
Speaking of going on the defensive side, same unique lineup on defense, two defensive linemen, six defensive flex, meaning defensive line, linebacker, or DB. Do you have a favorite defensive strategy when it comes to defense?
You know, I keep saying every year I'd like to get more safeties that, you know, rack up tackles, but unfortunately for some reason I keep tending towards linebackers. So I would have to say my defensive strategy is, you know, the defensive ends you know, four to five solid linebackers and maybe a couple really good safeties for defensive backs.
And you've had some good ones for several years here. You know what, let me just stop, and I know it's not a question that we talked about beforehand, but you've had, if I'm not mistaken, Greenway is going to be a right of first refusal this way. You've lost Briggs this year. You had Navarro Bowman since our first season, I think. You've really had some linebackers that you could hang your head on for years here. Like the league is set up, players do well, their contracts go up. You can only sign them for so long, and then you do have to let them dip into free agency. How has that transition been for you?
Well, this year especially, yeah. I mean, it's been tough. I think what I've done through the draft this year is kind of replenish my young linebacking core. I have a right of first refusal on Greenway and Darryl Smith this year.
Yeah, I forgot about
him. And those guys are getting older, and you know, so I just thought I better replenish my linebacking core, and I did that through the draft, and we'll see how that works out. I don't know if my linebackers that I have on my team are actually going to produce this year, There might be a couple of years down the road before we start to see the results from those guys.
Well, why don't I ask real quick, because we're going to talk about the draft, one question from now, so let me get this next question out of the way. What site or magazines do you like to patron? So this is for all the guys out there that are listening from our normal redraft league, friends that are in other leagues, and just in general. I think it's always important for all of us to share the different places that we get our information from, because it's how you use that information that makes the champion. It's
right.
Sharing the sites isn't so bad.
I really don't visit a specific site. What I like to do is just Google search a player's name, and I will go to various sites and just read everything I can about that player on whether it be 5 different sites or 10 different sites, and just gather all that information and try to make a decision on what I think, you know, I should do with that particular player.
Cool. I love hearing how all the guys, you know, go about what they do. I think that's really cool. So hand in hand with that, how do you prepare for the rookie draft then? Because there's so many names, it's just a full 5-round draft. Do you, like, I'll go on to ESPN a lot. I love to hear Kuiper and McShay talk about players. Football Guys is a site that I use. Well, how do you prepare for that rookie draft?
You know, I kind of do the same thing with the rookie draft. I don't like to, you know, go to a specific site. I just like to go to, like I say, just Google search, you know, the you know, players that are going to be highly drafted, and just try to gather as much information as I can from, you know, what scouts have to say about the player, what owners have to say, what the draft analysts have to say, and just try to make a decision on that player.
Well, let's keep going with the rookie draft, because I have to say that, and I said this at the time, now I just want people to know I'm not just sucking up to you on the phone here. I felt you had quite possibly the strongest draft out of all the teams in the league this year. Now, you did have extra draft picks. You collected extra draft picks in 2015. You had 2 first-round picks, a second. You had 3 third-round picks, a fourth, and a fifth. I thought that you got future starters in almost every single round, and I'm serious when I say that. You took Kendricks from Minnesota, the linebacker, 4th overall, followed that up with Max Williams, the tight end, Baltimore, at 11th. Some owners thought that pick was a reach, and I'm going to ask you about that. But the guy could end up starting even this year. Philip Dorsett, wide receiver, Indianapolis, in the 2nd round. You took 2 stud linebackers in the 3rd round. I thought those were great picks. Shaq Thompson of Carolina and Paul Dawson of Cincinnati. And then also in the 3rd round, you grabbed scooped up running back Matt Jones of Washington. And then you finished up with Jake Ryan of Green Bay and Jesse James, the tight end of Pittsburgh, in the 5th round. Can you talk a little bit about this year's draft class and why you made the selections you did? I don't even know where to start, because I love most every one of those picks, most of them.
Yeah.
Why don't you start with Max Williams, because people really want to hear about why you took Max Williams.
Yeah, I didn't really think that I took him too early. I thought he had a chance to be a starting tight end in Baltimore. I went over the first round in my head on paper, you know, a bunch of times to see what players would be available. And there were a couple other players that I was considering over Max Williams. There was one player in particular, Tulloch from New Orleans. If he was there, I was going to take the linebacker from New Orleans. Tulloch, I believe his name is.
Oh, Anthony. Stephon Anthony.
Stephon, why am I thinking Tulloch?
Yeah, Bill took Anthony right in front of you.
Yeah, Stephon Anthony. So that was the guy. That was the guy I wanted. And that didn't work out. And then, you know, I was looking at, like, Landon Collins, and he was another guy, and I just decided to go with Max Williams. You know, I've had a problem finding a good starting tight end, I think, since the beginning of the league, and I thought Max Williams would probably fill that void that I've had at tight end for 5 years.
Not putting words in your mouth, that's what I told when we were doing the recap shows. I said, I know he's been looking for kind of a franchise tight end that he can hang his hat on, and I think that's what he was doing here, is he was taking his shot. What about the third, first of all, the Indy wide receiver, and then we move into the 2 stud linebackers, which, for people that don't know, Shaq Thompson has incredible physical tools. Paul Dawson is talked about as a beast potentially in Cincinnati. Both guys could be starters, you know, maybe by the end of this year, into next year. Matt Jones in a situation in Washington where The running back there right now, whose name fails me, his contract is up this year, and he's not, you know, he's good, but he's nothing special. And he's
Alfred Morris.
Yeah, Alfred Morris. Jones could take over that spot. Jake Ryan could be a starting linebacker even this year. Jesse James, you got Heath Miller, is at the end of his career. I don't know if Jesse James has the talent to do it, but he's certainly got the opportunity. Great picks.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and how can you not draft a guy named Jesse James? I mean,
I didn't even mention Kendricks, your guy from Minnesota. I can talk for hours on your draft. I better get moving. We got a hard start and a hard stop. So is there any other player you want to talk about from the player or two from that year that you want to, that you're excited about?
I'm excited about all of them, to be honest with you. Jake Ryan, you know, I think I kind of gambled on him a little bit. A lot of, sites and are saying he might only be a two-down linebacker. I hope he's not A.J. Hawk 2.0 or something like that, you know. Take nothing away from A.J. Hawk. He was a fairly decent fantasy player for me. I've had him for a couple years. But, we'll see how Jake Ryan pans out. I'm not particularly thrilled with that pick, but we'll kind of see what happens. The other picks, you know, could turn out to be great. We'll just have to wait and see.
So let's talk about your strategy, your GM strategy over the past years in Mad Dog. Do you consider yourself a draft and grow from within Ted Thompson-esque GM, or are you more of a go-get-it kind of GM like Ron Wolf?
Boy, that's a tough one. I'm not afraid to I really don't know who I can compare myself to. I'm really not afraid to trade anybody if I like a player. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to go out and get them. So I don't really know where I would sit in that comparable GM mold. I have no idea.
Well, how would you describe your strategy? I mean, names GM guys aside, what do you think your method is? Best player available, draft, and develop?
I would have to say I really don't necessarily do the best player available, I guess, because I guess we all really don't know who that is, per se, you know. I would have to say draft four. I like to look for players that possibly are going to be starters in 1 to 2 years, I guess, is what I look for.
And so you're looking for an early return. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
That's a good way of saying it. No, that's a good way of differentiating, because some guys are really into draft the guy and hold it and wait. But on the topic of GM strategy, I have to ask you about your trade this offseason with the Marauding Minotaurs, where you traded away Andrew Luck and Levante David in exchange for Cam Newton, Julio Jones, and two 2015 draft picks, the fourth overall pick, which became Kendricks, and the fourth pick in the third round, which, if I'm not mistaken, that one became Shaq Thompson.
Shaq? Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was Shaq or Paul Doss. Yeah, it was one of those guys.
I can tell you
that whole group of three players, though, is probably, there's really no particular order. Because I had three picks in a row in the third round. And that was kind of like pick, pick, pick. I didn't really necessarily put those picks in order. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Nice haul in return for those guys, but they're arguably the top players at their position in a dynasty setting.
Boy.
And I think if you could listeners what was going through your mind when you ultimately decided to pull the trigger on that deal, because it wasn't only one of the biggest deals in league history. It was a trade within your own division, which is controversial by itself to some owners. Just talk about that, please.
That was a tough decision. That was a trade that was in the works for a long time. And basically, when I looked at the trade, I kind of broke it down as Levante David for Julio Jones, I thought was a pretty fair trade, even up player for player. And then you look at Luck. I give him Andrew Luck in return. I got Cam Newton, the fourth overall pick, and then a third-round pick. And I thought, my gosh, this is an opportunity to make my team better. I mean, I'm losing the top quarterback, probably in fantasy and top defensive linebacker, but I think in the long run this is going to make my team better if the draft picks pan out. And it's a gamble. I took a gamble, and that's kind of what makes fantasy football fun, is you can take gambles like this and see what happens.
Absolutely.
But, and I wouldn't,
nobody else
I wouldn't, uh, I wouldn't, and I'm probably not done trading. So there might be some more trades in the works before the season starts. So we'll see what happens.
Well, unfortunately, we only have 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes left, or I'd work one out with you now. Well, I can say this about our league is I have been surprised. I'm not one that cares about trading in division or not. Some guys really do, and I've been surprised. No, I don't feel many owners at all are afraid to trade right now within their own division. This league is just wide open, pedal to the floor. Let's talk about some of your best moves, the best moves that you've made in Mad Dog, in your opinion. What are some of those?
Oh, my gosh, I've made so many. You know, I was thinking about that today, and I've made so many trades in this league. I need to go back and look at them all because I've made so many. Boy, when I think back, you know, I've traded so many players, RG3. I traded DeMarco Murray, too, this offseason, who was probably one of the top running backs last season. And I would have to say, you know, I can't think of one off the top of my head that is, I would have to say, the best move that I've made. I really can't.
Sure. Yeah. Have a favorite, like, just anybody. You got, here, I'll bring one up for you. I know
okay.
Back in 2011, I was watching Navarro Bowman as he was kind of budding as a linebacker. And should I pick him up? And I didn't pick him up. You picked him up, and the guy went on to just be a monster until injury took him down. And I'll give you another one, too, is you had Avery Williams from Tennessee was sitting out there last year in free agency.
That's
and
right.
Had him. I think it dropped him, and then I really was liking him. And you know what? I just killed myself. I kept a dome kicker over him. And then that dome kicker ended up getting cut, and you picked Avery Williams and back up, and that guy's going to be a starter
right.
for Tennessee. They'll be on defense a lot. So I
right.
think those are a couple of really good moves.
Let me throw out there, now you're refreshing my memory, Christian Jones is a guy that I really am high on. I don't know if he's going to be a starter this year in Chicago, but if he is, you know, that guy has serious talent, and I believe he did not get drafted early because he had some character issues, but this guy could be a beast for Chicago, is Christian Jones. So that's, I think, a big move that could turn out to be really good for me. I think I picked him up off the free agent wire last year.
He's fighting for a starting lineup spot right now with Mason Foster and Jonathan Bostic. So two of those
right.
three are going to start inside.
Yep.
Getting back to the base questions, what about some of your worst moves? I know you mentioned Blackman earlier as not really your fault. It's just the train came off the tracks for him.
Any other thoughts
on worst moves?
I traded away a first-round pick for some guy named Ben Tate last year, which I'm not too happy about that move. But at the time, you know, Tate was still, I believe he was in Cleveland at the time when I traded for him. I traded with you, and
He
came off two good games in a row. I'm like, I'll give you my first-round pick, and then all of a sudden it just fell apart. So that was a terrible trade.
Yeah,
that I made.
In hindsight, it was horrible. At the time, I gave you my second. You took the first. I think I gave you my second or something like that. It was kind of a move down around kind of situation.
Right.
And yeah, in hindsight, that one didn't work. But has the strategy of another owner caught your eye, or have you found yourself admiring the job somebody else has done over the years?
Man, everybody in this league does a great job. I mean, we have some really competitive owners in this league, and I just have to tip my hat to everybody in the league because it's tough every week winning in this league because you know you're going to get the best from each owner each week, and it's tough to win in this league. So I would have to say every owner in this league does a great job.
That's what makes it so fun. Well, I tell you, Matt, we've got less than a minute here. We're up against the clock. Before we go, are there any comments in general you'd like to make or a topic or two we didn't cover? And just go right ahead for, 20, 30 seconds. Anything you want?
Not really. I'm just really looking forward to the season and looking forward to our Sun Bowl matches this year, and really hope to win a division title in the next couple of years. But other than that, I have a great time playing in the league, and I'm just looking forward to the season.
Well, hey, thanks again for coming on the show, Matt. I want to once again tell our listeners to keep following the show via Blog Talk Radio or via podcast on your electronic device. More special interviews will be forthcoming, as well as special shows like the Best of the Best series that I'm putting together. Until then, on behalf of my guest today, Matt Blankenberg, I'm Rick Koreski saying thanks for joining me on another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.